Never start with the head. The victim gets all fuzzy.
Here's Johnny.
I see Dave.
Houston, we have a problem.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Film Actually, episode 96 for the 7th of August, 2010. And Josh, I got it right.
You did. I was very impressed. Sorry. I was quietly impressed, though. I didn't want to interrupt your flow.
For those who don't understand what we're talking about, on Tech Actually this morning, I completely blew the address. Time and date. All right, I am David McVeigh. This is Film Actually, the official movie podcast of geekactually.com, and we are joined only by Josh today, because it's just the two of us.
Yeah, well, intimate ones are okay every now and then. People have to reestablish who we are.
We had to do it as an intimate one as well this week, because the film review, the film we're reviewing today hasn't actually been released yet. It's being released on Thursday. So we couldn't have had another guest because they wouldn't have seen the film. So it is just us today. This week, along with our usual bit of entertainment buzz and our lists of five, we are actually reviewing two things. We're reviewing the film, the new Vincenzo Natali film, Splice. And we're also doing a TV review of a new sci-fi miniseries called Riverworld. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't do a lot of TV, but I always like bringing up TV when we can. So this is this will be interesting to have a look at this. But to get us started on the whole thing, we are going to review Vincenzo Natali's Splice. Now, I do have a little sidebar graphic. There we are. For those watching live, I've brought up the poster. For those, sorry, audio listeners who can't see, I brought up the poster for the film Splice. Now, Splice is directed by Vincenzo Natali, who is probably best known for the film Cube, the first Cube. There's been several sequels, which I thought was a really intriguing little film. Kind of came out of nowhere back in the early 90s, late 80s, something like that. And he is an interesting filmmaker who has some very interesting ideas, and I think Splice does also equate to that. The film is written by Vincenzo Natali, Antoinette Terry Bryant, and Doug Taylor, and it stars Adrian Brody, Sarah Polley, and Delphine. Now, I'm going to get this last name completely wrong, because once again, it's one of those French pronunciations, but it's Delphine Chenet, I think, or Chenek. I'm not sure however you pronounce that. Anyway, but she plays Dren, the creature in question. Now, I've kept the synopsis fairly vague on purpose. I've just said two wide-eyed gene-splicing scientists are trying to create new life forms so that they can harvest valuable proteins that can cure diseases. When they secretly use human DNA in an experiment, the results are surprising, to say the least. So
different, yes.
Different. We will have a look at the trailer for Splice and then come back and talk about it. So here is Splice.
Here he comes.
Careful.
All clear.
That's it.
Heart rate stable. If we don't use human DNA now, someone else will.
Regulators and politicians, they tear us to pieces.
Millions of people are suffering and dying. What are the moral considerations of that?
This is illegal. We can go to jail for this.
Human cloning is illegal. This won't be human. Not entirely. It's coming out.
It's not due for months.
It's slippery. It's...
What was that?
A mistake.
Here is something completely unique in the world.
It's empty. Clive?
Elsa, get out!
It's dangerous!
It's growing fast.
Days within a matter of minutes.
She's perfect.
You'd cross the line.
What did you expect when you made it? Didn't you have a plan? You can't let her out.
Specimens need to be contained.
Don't call her that.
What is going on?
She's become unstable.
This is the disaster everyone warns about. A new species set loose in the world.
Gene splicing, what can possibly go wrong?
Nothing, nothing at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, Josh, what did you think?
I think the first thing to bring up for people is to announce that that trailer is nothing like what you're going to see. And I find that
completely misleading.
It's a really misleading trailer. I'm glad that I knew that in advance, because when you set yourself up to watch that film based on a trailer like that, it's a very different experience, because there is really no horror elements to this film.
No, I think we should be right up front with that. Actually, no, I wouldn't even say at the end, no spoilers, but I would actually say this is not a horror film.
No, not at all.
It's a creature feature, but it's not a horror film.
It's a creature feature. It is one of those Frankenstein-esque kind of a, you know, sort of creature with a personality kind of a situation. This is not horror. Horror, you have to separate out those two elements.
Yeah. And let's be clear, it's not like Species, for instance, which that trailer makes it look like Species.
Exactly.
It's not about a killer monster going around killing people. That's not what it's about.
No, in fact, you know? There's very little death in this movie at all. The film is definitely sort of in three parts. It's kind of part creature feature, talk about, you know, sort of splicing and genes and so on and so forth, and sort of, you know, sort of look at that aspect, and then also a look at sort of my generation, sort of the Gen X, Gen Y's, and sort of the fact that we have, I think it was said best in the press kit, where it said, we have all the building blocks of life, but no knowledge on what life is. And it's that really kind of, it's really much more focuses on that and kind of maybe the sort of perimental
I think ultimately that's kind of the most disappointing part of the film. I actually really enjoyed the film. I sat there throughout the entire film going, this is a fascinating study on ethics and science and experimentation and what could happen, you know, and how sometimes we leap before we really understand what we're
dealing
with.
And also
a look
at the repercussions of that, like the fact that you can't just, if you bring something to life, you are
responsible.
It is your responsibility. And it's, it is a very interesting look at that.
And the problem I had with the film, and I said to you when we saw it, I sat there through the entire film, and when I came out, I went, it's a very interesting film. It's a really, and let me get this right off the bat, it's a fantastically made film.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful. The sound, the special effects are stunning. I mean, everything about this film,
the creature itself is in the room, no matter what form it's in, 3D or otherwise.
And the combination of physical effect and CG melding together to make this creature is just brilliant. I mean, I don't think we've seen anything as genuine looking on screen as since Davy Jones in the second Pirates of the Caribbean film, which was also a stunning piece of mixture of the two elements, and so all of that is fine. But I came out of the film and I said to Josh, I said, something isn't right, and I just kind of came out thinking it should have been brilliant, and something didn't sit right with me. And I think after discussing it out with Josh, we finally came to the conclusion that it kind of fails in its last act.
It kind of
falls apart a little bit in that last act, because it resorts back to cliche monster movie tropes rather than sticking with this very intelligent, clever film all the way through. And it's almost like the writers got to a certain point and go, how do we finish this?
Well, I mean, with someone that, like, the director is very well known. Like, if you watch something like Cube, it has that very kind of open-ended kind of an ending. I don't think endings have ever really been the speciality of these, of this kind of a movie, because it really feels like you've built a concept up and then built a finish afterwards. And not only is that very clear, but it would have benefited from a little bit more sort of overlook on the end of the film and sort of look at what you were trying to accomplish. Because as we discussed, people that are in science know that if you want to get rid of something, you burn it. It's that simple.
Get rid of the evidence.
Well, not only the evidence, but also just the fact that other people can find something like that. And it's just the whole concept of, you've made the mistake and you know you've made a mistake. And
by the time it gets to that point,
yeah,
you're trying to cover your tracks, you know? Mm. And I think we reach a certain point with this film where we sit there and go, these very intelligent people who have done some very intelligent stuff start to make really stupid mistakes.
Yeah. Look, and I mean, I can still see the writer's side of it and go that, you know, there is the emotional attachment. Maybe they didn't want to burn it or so on and so forth. But there's a part of you that just goes, there's been far too many problems and it's caused far too much. She's dead. Let's deal with it. Or something like that. And also, that one moment would have left...
Dangerously stepping close to spoiler territory here. So.
No. Yeah. What I'm saying is... The way that the film ends, if they had have finished it differently, you could have still finished the movie the same way, but it just would have, the way that the film plays out at the end would have made much more sense if everything had have gone down a little differently.
Yeah,
if
it I wasn't, agree. Look, and
it's very difficult to talk about that.
It's also a little frustrating though, because it's one of those films where you sit there and go, this film had the potential to be this year's. Maybe not quite in the same league, don't get me wrong, but it had the potential to be this year's Moon or District 9 or something, one of those really memorable films where you go, that's something different.
Yeah.
Maybe not be as good as, say, District 9, but it would have been that memorable, clever twist on something that is often very just cliched and overused. And for three quarters of the film, it's going in that direction. And you sit there watching it going, this is just very clever. Mm. And then, as I say, in the last act, I want to make very clear that it's not... I'm not saying don't go see the film. I think it's actually a very good film. And I think it's just one of those films where you just kind of go, it's just not quite there.
Yeah, know? Like, and what is so weird is it's just that final minutes that really let it down. Mm. I mean, the points and the directions and the conversations and everything about the film, even in its weirdest, most left-field moments, are really intriguing and also really really well thought out. Mm. And it's just the ending is such a mess. And, even though there's nothing wrong with the shots, there's nothing wrong with the acting or anything like that, it's just that the ending doesn't feel like the rest of the film.
It's not the shots or the acting, as you say. It really does come down to the script. It comes down to the fact that I think the writers wrote themselves into a corner and they needed to resolve it. And this was the resolution they came up with. Mm. And I think the resolution feels like it's a bit of a rushed resolution. It almost feels to me like a preview audience... last minute change to the ending. It almost feels to me like they've put it into a test screening and everybody said we don't like the ending, and so they've gone and reshot a different ending for it, because it doesn't feel like the same film.
Yeah,
it feels like that we've taken a left turn into somewhere that this film was not meant to go.
Exactly.
And so I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's kind of how it feels. Mm. But that being said, I love the film. I thought the film was actually really, really good, and I'm just. We've got to say, Sarah Pauly throughout this film is a complete bitch.
Mm.
But to her credit, that's the performance that she's getting. You
exactly.
know? And she's very believable.
And Adrian Brody's character is probably one of my favorite things he's ever done. I've never really... I don't see him as an incompetent actor. He's very capable. It's just I've never really gone, wow, that was a really good role. In this, even though he's playing someone trying to be quite a bit younger than he obviously is, like... the whole time that's playing out, I really believed his character, and I loved all of the moments. There are quite a few scenes in this where he does some very either irrational or very, very rational situations that he puts himself in and just acts on impulse. And he, throughout the movie, even when there's a point about halfway through the film where his character kind of changes modes from one side of the parental situation to another. And even when he makes that jump, you're really on board with this character, because this character believes he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, we actually see a growth arc. We see a character arc with him where we don't see it so much with Sarah Pauly.
Well, no, but I think that's kind of the situation. It's actually brought up in the film that the brother, his character's, Adrian Brody's brother, I can't remember the actor's name, but... his character actually brings up the fact that for most of his life, he's just done what she wants.
Yeah.
And she's always... she seems like one of those girlfriends that's always pushed him to do better. You know what I mean? One of those kind of people that all kind of takes control of his situation. I think as he grows into that kind of perimental arc, he kind of moves away from her. And I think that's where the relationship thing starts to get a bit.
And from the beginning of the film, we establish the fact that he wants to have kids and she's the one that's holding off on it.
Mm.
And I think there's a line about three quarters of the way through. He says, you didn't want to have a normal kid. You wanted to have something that you could control.
Exactly.
You know? And so, of course, when the Dren character comes along, it's almost like it's this thing that she can control, which of course she can't, but you know, that's what her belief is. And I think it's whereas Adrian Brody actually has a parental instinct more than she does. He actually wants to look after it until we get to the scene. Now, we're not going to spoil it, but let's just say that this film goes into some very dark territory.
Yes.
And it goes into some very strange areas where we actually had one audience member come out afterwards and basically look like they were
They were livid. there's no other way to put it. They were not very impressed. And I believe the quote that came out of his mouth is, "I should have seen Toy Story." Well, it sounds like maybe you should, because you obviously can't deal with something.
Look, if you're not ready for some of the concepts where this film is going, and let's face it, looking at the trailer, you might actually get some ideas of where this could possibly go. And I will say that this is where the species connection kind of does raise its head. And if you've seen Species, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, look, I do recommend the film. And I do say that it is one that if you are a fan of creature features, for one, if you are a fan of a really interesting film that actually raises some very interesting moral questions, and we're not talking from a religious morality, we're just talking about should this be tampered with? I mean, this is what it comes down to. It comes down to what our lists of five are later on, which is basically what could possibly go wrong with that. I mean, it comes down to that sort of concept, you know. And in this situation, he is dragged along for the ride and he is too weak to stop Sarah Polley from doing what she's doing, you know, and he has to then pay the consequences.
There is some wonderful lines, and if this film does anything really, really right, it's the fact that it does handle its subject matter very carefully, and it's very scientifically based. Like that's where they've put a lot of the effort into it, and some of the dialogue conversations between him and Polly, especially towards the end of the movie, are really good, where they start discussing sort of the lines that they've gone to and the places they've crossed, and sort of just real analysis of kind of what my generation is really unsure of what it's doing, because the tools have been established along the way, and we're just like kids playing with toys nowadays. That is what scientists are.
Yeah, we've come to this conclusion in society where just because we can do it means we should do it, and that's not necessarily the way it should actually be. Just because you can doesn't always mean you should, because some things you really just want to leave alone because you just don't know. You know, you just don't know what could possibly happen. I don't know. Do you want to enter a spoiler zone for this?
No, I don't think we really need to.
No? Okay. Let's just go ahead and do our final recommendations then. I say, yes, go see it. Be aware, though, that this film is a bit risque in areas.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are at all like this gentleman, you know, you think you should see Toy Story instead, maybe you should. Mm. Okay, because it does take you into some territory that you may find uncomfortable to watch. Now, Charlie from Movie Fancast has just joined our chat room. Hello, Charlie. How are you? Now, you've seen this film. Just to get another opinion here, if you can fire off into the chat room what his thoughts were, no spoilers, Charlie, we will read you out his comments as well. Josh, what did you think?
Look, I think the film is really, really good. I mean, I've said the ending fails, but it's one of those great films where it's not what I would expect to be a perfect film. I didn't go in wanting sort of blockbuster 100% sort of thing. This was more art house for me. I expected something that was going to try
Absolutely,
and do something that isn't blockbuster. And it's like whenever you try and talk about things that are difficult to talk about, you will always run the risk of doing missing an audience or missing missing parts of your film that you might not get right. This film has had so much love and work to it. I think everybody should watch it based on that. But I put the same warnings Dave does. If you're not good with dark subject matter, don't see it.
Okay, Charlie has answered us. He says he really dug it. very inventive and original that leaves you talking, thinking, and with a definite emotion, whatever emotion that may be. And yes, that is very true.
Yeah. It moves the audience, and that's really what the film is.
You hit the nail on the head, though, when you actually said it's like an art house film. We actually talked about this before going into the screening. We were reading the press notes and talking about it. It's a really interesting collaboration because it's actually a Gaumont production, which is the French production company, which is known for doing slightly more esoteric stuff, but then executive produced by Joel Silver, who does big bombastic action stuff. And so it's very interesting melding of these two elements because you've got an art house sensibility on a bombastic budget. Mm. And so you sit there and look at it and go, yeah, I can really, this is an interesting mix. And it's a mix I'd like to see a lot more of.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Now, just to finish off Splice, as we did last week, we have double passes to go see Splice if you want to see Splice. We have 5 more double passes. We had 10 total. 5 were given out last week. This is the last 5 we have here. Rules are very simple. You send me an email at feedback@geekactually.com with your full name and mailing address. This is only for the Australians, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And we will mail out to the first 5 emails received. We will mail you out a double pass. Now, we did make a mistake last week. So I will just correct that. We said it was for any day, any time, whatever you want to do. It's actually Monday to Fridays only.
Yeah.
Okay. But if it's a no free ticket movie or anything like that, you can still use these.
Yeah.
So any Monday to Friday session
of
Splice at any cinema that is playing it, you should be able to use these passes. These are courtesy of Madman Entertainment and Nixco. And as I say, first 5 emails in the door, we'll mail them out. We've already mailed out the first 5 and they're all quite happy. Mm-hmm. So please, it is well worth having a look at. I do recommend it. And if you want to see it for free, that way at least you don't feel like you've wasted money on it. If you don't like it, you can see it for free on us. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, that brings us to an end of Splice. Final conclusions are we do recommend it. Just be careful. And be aware that the ending...
Don't take your grandma to this film.
Don't take your grandma to this, and be aware that the ending does kind of fall into a little bit of cliche. Mm. But other than that, it is actually a lot of fun to watch. Splice opens nationally Thursday the 12th of August, which is next Thursday for those who are listening to the live show. All right, let's talk a little bit about entertainment buzz. Let's talk a little bit about our news of the week. These are just some... simple news stories. We don't try and cover all news, obviously, but we do cover a little bit of things that just catch our eye. And I thought it would be fair to say that it's Green Hornet news. Any Green Hornet news is good news as far as I'm concerned. No, I'm joking here, guys. If you all have been listening to this show long enough, you'll actually think that for a long time I never thought this production would happen. Now, the reason why this one caught my eye, though, is Danny Elfman has left the project due to schedule conflicts. Now, let me see. Where have we heard that before? I believe this was the Wolfman.
Yeah.
Had this exact same problem.
This guy's got to just pick a movie and stick with it for crying out loud, man. He's starting to get a bit ridiculous. It's like, don't take this many films if you can't do them.
Or... pick your films that you know will actually stay on track and stay on target, because the problem is he keeps getting attached to these films that have so many problems. Mm. Green Hornet has had so many delays that he would have been contracted to this a year and a half ago, you know? And now it's finally time to come to work. It's like, guys, you're months behind schedule, and I have 2 other films that I am scheduled to move on to. Anyway, the upside to this is that it looks like he is going to be replaced by, now he's not locked in yet, but it looks like he's going to be replaced by James Newton Howard, who was the co-writer of the music for things like Batman and The Dark Knight, who is a great composer in his own right. Mm. And I think, yeah, it could be an interesting mix. It could be interesting. It will be kind of weird to see a superhero type film, quote unquote, without a Danny Elfman score. So, look, I don't know if Danny Elfman at this point is any great loss to a production. He hasn't been that original. Look, I'm a big Danny Elfman fan, don't get me wrong, but I am intelligent and smart enough to know that Danny Elfman has been repeating himself a lot lately, and he probably hasn't written a really unique, really memorable score in a good 5-6 years. All right?
I'm not really sure if this film's going to be the kind of film that it would really benefit from a great score.
Well, exactly, and that's what makes me wonder that this is probably no great loss anyway. So I just look at it and go, you know what? I'm waiting for Elfman to come back to. I mean, let's face it, in the 80s, in the early 90s, he was doing some of the best scores in town. They were unique, they were original, they were fresh, and lately he has been not quite as unique and quite as fresh, and I think he's starting to wear a bit thin. So, you know, may not be a bad thing for the film. James Newton Howard might at least bring something to it, although I got to say, James Newton Howard, as much as I like his scores, he often sounds the same as well, though. Same with Hans Zimmer and a bunch of other composers working today who are all starting to just sound a bit repetitive. I don't know. Numero Zero in our chat room says maybe he's busy at Santa's workshop.
He's got the face for it? I don't get it.
I brought the face up before. What do you think he looks a bit elfish?
Elf, maybe?
Maybe.
Anyway,
moving right along, let's talk about Terry Gilliam for a second. This poor bastard can't get a break. Now, he had finally secured financing to bring The Man Who Killed Don Quixote back again. He had recast it. Now it has Ewan McGregor and Robert Duvall in it. And he was all set to go again after a decade. I personally think that this movie is like his windmills, and I think that he's just got to let it go, I think, because it's just getting to a point.
Well, if anything, man, I reckon it would be really good to have a second documentary, because I reckon this documentary could really be more of an analysis of Terry Gilliam. Tell me you don't feel that way.
Because...
Would that not be an amazing movie?
This time he didn't even get to location. according to a quote that he said to MTV, he said, "We move forward and then we step back a bit. Originally, I thought we were going to be in pre-production right now, but there's been a little hiccup, and me doing this thing with Arcade Fire is a result of this hiccup with Don Quixote. Robert Duvall is still Quixote. Ewan McGregor is still involved. All that stuff is still happening. There's just been a financial hiccup." So basically what he's saying is the money fell through. So
maybe not all of it, but maybe just a section of it. Look, it may benefit from a little bit more time, or maybe this will be our next Green Hornet news.
Well, you know, once Green Hornet comes out, we need something new. That Arcade Fire thing he's talking about, by the way, he's actually talking about streaming. He's going to be working on streaming an Arcade Fire concert. So I think they're going to be doing it online by the sounds of it. And he's directing the Arcade Fire concert. And it says that Terry Gilliam is directing tonight. This was dated a few days ago, so it's probably already happened. So hopefully, you know, either, hopefully he gets the money together, makes this film, gets it out of his system.
We've just had that fixed by Charlie. Apparently it happened last night.
Oh, thank you, Charlie.
And it was in New York.
Fantastic. All right, well, that's what's been keeping Gilliam busy. What I'm hoping is that either he gets the money together, gets the movie made, and gets it out of his system, or he just gives up on this.
It seems like his personality leans to the kind of thing that this will be kind of like his last film, and he will just continue to try and make it for the rest of his career. That would be the perfect end to such an arty director, you know.
That's the film that killed him.
Exactly, the film that just drove him until he died from it.
The film that brought him to his knees. I don't know. It just seems like it's been dragging on an awful long time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a look at this trailer. Now, I got to tell you, I was really underwhelmed by this trailer.
Underwhelmed by the last movie. So.
Yeah, well... A trailer for this came out a couple weeks ago. We actually didn't have time to fit it into the show because we had other stuff, so we didn't play it. And it was actually a better trailer than this one. This one just got leaked this week. It's not particularly brilliant quality because of the site that it came from, but this is the new trailer for The Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And I got to tell you, after watching this, I just went, who cares? Anyway, have a look. Tell me what you think. It's actually fairly short.
You have been summoned back to Narnia. You have returned for a reason. Your adventure begins now.
You've got an extraordinary destiny. Something greater than you ever imagined.
The fate of Narnia depends on you.
This Christmas comes the greatest voyage in C.S. Lewis's epic masterpiece.
Be strong. Think of the lost souls we're here to save. Think of Aslan. Think of Narnia.
Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Okay, sorry, the mics were turned off for some reason. All right, so I was really underwhelmed by that trailer. I just think it doesn't do anything for the film at all. Many consider Voyage of the Dawn Treader as the best book in the Narnia series. This time around, we actually have a pedigree director directing. Let's remember that the guy who directed the first two Narnia films was actually a special effects guy who had become a director. This time around, they're actually being directed by Michael Apted. Now, Michael Apted is a director who directed things like Gorillas in the Mist, and he is responsible for that documentary series of films, the 7-Up series. I don't know if you've ever seen those.
No.
Where he, it's a brilliant series. He basically took a group of kids at the age of 7 and filmed interviews with the kids about where they saw themselves in the future and when they grew up and what they want to be and their aspirations and everything else. And he goes back every 7 years and revisits the same group of kids to see how they're doing. And the films are called 7-Up, 14-Up, 21-Up, and so forth. And the new one is actually just about to come out. So he's been following these kids their entire lives. And he's up to, it's 40-something up. It's 40, what is, multiples of 7.
Wow.
40, whatever it is. But so, yeah, so it's been a long-term passion project of his. He keeps revisiting these kids, and it's an amazing documentary series just to see how their lives changed or did they become what they wanted to be or, you know, and so forth. So he's a very intelligent, thought-provoking guy. Gorillas in the Mist was a fabulous film.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can hope is that maybe Voyage of the Dawn Treader actually improves on what the previous two Narnia films had done. Mm-hmm. We will wait and see. That trailer is not filling me full of confidence, though, I've got to say. Okay. Now, I know, Josh, that you are not a fan of this woman, but I am. And but I think she actually came out this week with some very interesting statements.
Oh, no, the statement itself is interesting.
The woman in question is Anne Rice, who is the author of The Vampire Chronicles and the Mayfair Witches.
Mm-hmm.
I am a big fan of her books, but I don't think Josh is quite as fan of me. But anyway, she actually was raised Catholic, and she kind of wasn't practicing for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And in the, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, she reconnected with the Catholic Church and basically came out publicly saying how, you know, she was re-embracing her Catholicism and all this sort of stuff. And we all got a little bit worried. All us fans got a little bit worried because, like, she writes very gothic novels and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, the long and the short of this is this week she basically came out and said that she is no longer Christian.
Whoa.
She says, "In the name of Christ," and this is her quote exactly, "in the name of Christ, I refuse to be anti-gay. I refuse to be anti-feminist. I refuse to be anti-artificial birth control. In the name of Christ, I quit Christianity and being Christian. Amen." She wrote this on her official blog, and she basically came out and said she could not take the hypocrisy of the church anymore. Mm. She said this has nothing to do with her faith. She has nothing to do with her beliefs. Mm. It comes down to the church.
Yeah.
And I say, and I actually have a lot of respect for that. Not that we don't want to get into the whole church bashing thing, but I do really respect the fact that she can come out and say that, you know, she doesn't want to be the things that the church is asking her to be, which is things like anti-gay and anti-feminist. And for any woman in particular, you come out, I would say the same thing about the Muslim faith as well, which is I don't understand how you could want to be a female Orthodox Muslim, not talking about, like, you know, liberal of anything, but the whole idea of wanting to wear the burqa and be, you know, be subservient to men and all this stuff. All I can say is you're equal. You're an equal being on this planet. Why would anybody want to be a secondary citizen? You know, and unfortunately, a lot of these really strict religions actually require that. And so for her to come out and say this is really a controversial thing. And at the same time, I say good honor. You know, has our chat room gone ballistic on me? I'm waiting for it to be I'm waiting to be flamed over all this now.
Nope.
The camera work is off, but I can always sit down and watch them for some reason. Yeah, well, I agree with you. This is about Narnia, I'm assuming. I actually don't mind the first Narnia. I mean, I'm a bit harsh on them, but I actually don't mind them. I've watched them. I've watched them with
Nicholas. I don't mind the first one, the second one.
Watched them with Nicholas, you know, and it's like they're okay because, you know, the special effects are fun and I've read the books and, you know, it's all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, I can also appreciate, as Charlie is saying in the chat room, they're not great films.
No.
And, you know, and that's... Sarah Calpoke is my sister, who's been on the show before, and I have actually discussed in the past where I've actually said if there had been no Lord of the Rings, Narnia would probably be acceptable, but because we've seen better.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen better. Narnia comes off looking like a pale comparison.
Yeah.
You know, or okay, Callison says, I like her books. This is about the Anne Rice. I may revisit them now to see if my opinion changes. I like the books a lot. Charlie says, I'm with you on Anne Rice and the church, my man. Okay, cool. Agreed. Churches can't always fit into one's personal beliefs. I agree. See, and once again, we've got to be very clear about, we don't want to offend anybody. I mean, because, you know, this way you should never discuss religion or politics. But I tend to discuss both. But we got to be very clear that we're not actually talking about your faith. We're not talking about your belief in a God or a spiritual higher being. The problem here is with organized religion. The problem here is with the church. And that's where we run into some issues, because I don't like the way that the churches are run. And that's the issues. I don't care what your personal beliefs are. You know, everybody has their own personal beliefs.
Yeah.
Okay. I found this graphic and I had to use this for this story because it seemed appropriate. Star Wars live action TV show we've been promised since episode 3 came out at the cinemas. And before you say it, I know. What's that? All right. Since episode 3 came out at the cinemas, Lucas has been talking about a Star Wars live action series. He said that they wanted to not film it until they had 100 scripts done. Basically, they wanted to do 100 episodes. They're going to have the scripts all written in advance. Everything was going to be hunky-dory. They were going to shoot it here in Sydney, at the Sydney studios. And all this stuff. And at one point, we actually had reports that the production designers and stuff were actually here in Sydney, and people were working down here and the whole bit, but nothing has ever eventuated. And I found this photo online, which is George Lucas frozen in carbonite. Because apparently this project is frozen again. The reason this time? Budgetary concerns. Did somebody not actually sit down in advance and go, well, we make $175 million films, a series might be expensive? You know? Apparently, they're now saying that they've kind of paused at this point while they're looking at it, because it's big budget television that they're planning, you know, with all the CG work.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to tell anyone. We all know that Star Wars would cost a load of money.
Yeah, but
countries would have to put up loans.
Apparently, though, this is the interesting part, though. This was an article written on Slash Film by Adam Quigley, who is one of the co-hosts of the Slash Filmcast, and he wrote this analysis of this, and he raises a really good point in the analysis where he actually says, he basically says, I'm sure they didn't realize ahead of time that these movies cost so much money. He says, but come on. He goes, why can't we go back to our roots? Now, this series is supposed to be set between episode 3 and episode 4. Mm. This could be the bridging film that puts these two series together.
Yeah.
Now, we have a really slick, digital, perfect look of episode 3, and we have kind of a grungy, used, tired look of episode 4.
Yeah.
So, theoretically, we want this series to get to that look. So, why can't we make the new series a lot more like the original film?
Yeah.
The original Star Wars, if we forget, had a budget of, he says 11, I thought it was $13 million, right?
Mm.
Now, okay, even taking into account inflated dollars by inflation, it's still not that expensive.
Yeah.
You do a lot of it live action. You don't do lots of digital stuff. You build some sets, for God's sake, rather than digital sets. You do it the old-fashioned way. You could bring in the series. Let's not forget, Battlestar Galactica managed to stretch a budget.
Oh, dude, I know this. It's, you know, like, that's the whole thing. I don't understand why we get to a point where everything has to look so amazing and spend so much money that it's just ridiculous. Hire a bunch of decent directors and sort of set workers and stuff like that that have worked guerrilla on sets.
Mm.
Grab some people from shows like The Shield or something like that. And as much as, you know, it's a completely unrelated series, these guys know how
to use... But you want that sensibility. Let's bring
also,
that sensibility.
And also, they know how to use cameras on, not on tripods, not set up things like this. They're all guerrilla. They know how to move in, make a shot look good by just attaching it to themselves and moving
And because it's a different medium, we can actually do something different. It doesn't have to look like the Star Wars films.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, we've taken that many different directions with things like Clone Wars and stuff like that. Like, people are open to new interpretations.
And I think, what, in fact, what they want at this point is a new interpretation, because a lot of fans... There are fans. Let me just get this straight. There are fans of the new trilogy, but there are a lot of fans of the original trilogy who didn't like it. Okay, I like the just going back to Anne Rice for 1 second because I got to throw in my two bits. I saw this go by in the chat room. Charlie says 1 to 10. How bad is Queen of the Damned the film? 1.
I went 3 or 4.
No. See, Queen of the Damned, for those who have read the books, Queen of the Damned is the best of the Vampire Chronicles. My favorite of the Vampire Chronicles books, and they completely screwed the pooch on the film in every way possible. That's the film I wanted
to see.
I
don't remember.
It's much. Awful. Awful. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. So, Charlie, there's my answer. 1. -1. Hated Queen of the Damned. Horrible. Anyway, yeah. Numero Zero says that the animated Clone Wars will be the 2 to 3, and this is the planning to be 3 to 4. Yes, that's right. Clone Wars is set between 2 and 3, and this live-action series will be set between 3 and 4. The live-action series, according to this article, the scripts are written. It is in city and standby stage. They know what they want to do with it. And the fact that they could actually have 100 scripts pre-written, ready to go on this thing, I think is an amazing idea to basically have something full-fledged with a beginning, middle, and an end ready to go. And, you know, now we just got to work out the money. So I'm actually quite I've been quite excited about the idea of the Star Wars TV series since I first heard about it. I would like to see what they can do with it, quite frankly. But as I say, they've got to go. They have to take it into that old school. They need to take it into the look of Episode 4.
Yeah.
I think that's the secret here.
Yeah.
Callison says, give the scripts to BioWare and get them to make it. Well, yeah, there would be that option.
Look, maybe it might be on the cards. You never know. Maybe they'll decide to branch out like apparently Ubisoft is. Was it Ubisoft?
No. Was it Ubisoft?
No, it was Ubisoft Predators.
Yeah, for Predators. Was it Ubisoft? Yeah, it was Ubisoft. Yeah. That's right. Ubisoft doing effects work.
Who knows? Maybe we'll see something like that. They are obsessed with storylines. It's only a matter of time.
Okay, I've got one more trailer, and then we're going to review the second thing. I've got to play this trailer because I have a question to pose. Now, this is not the usual sort of trailer that we would play on this show, but I got to play it because I saw it and I just went, oh, you are shitting me. All right. So the question I pose is, when we put singers, particularly pop singers, into movies, they can go one of two directions. We can either have Dreamgirls.
Ooh. I know the other one. Tell me it's Glitter.
Oh, it's Glitter.
Oh, it's Glitter. Yes.
Okay, so pop stars going into movies can either go in the direction of Dreamgirls or they can go in the direction of Glitter. This is a new film called Burlesque coming out. Now, I'm not ashamed to admit that I don't mind a musical. I don't mind musical films even. Yeah. Problem is, though, that there's got to be more than just the music. Okay? Yeah. And I saw this trailer and I just went, oh, you're kidding me. So here you go, guys. Here's Christina Aguilera in Burlesque.
How much to Los Angeles?
One way or a round trip?
You're kidding, right?
When you are putting on your makeup, it's like you're an artist. But instead of painting on canvas, you're painting your face.
What is this place? Are you Tess?
And you're in my mirror because?
I've never seen anything like this before, and I really want to be a part of it.
Great enthusiasm, terrible timing.
Isn't that the chick that was backstage yesterday?
I want to be up there. I want to do that.
The question is, do you have the talent?
Because you're on. Knock them dead. Show them what you got.
What happened to all the great dancers in L.A.?
They're all dancing with the stars.
What is she doing up there?
I think she's auditioning.
Hey, Dave, cut it!
Hold on a second. I can do this.
And it's sweet that you think so.
Just tell me what you want.
I can't tell you. Nobody can tell you. You gotta make me believe that you belong on that stage, that it's yours, and that nobody can take it from you. Now, you wanna show me something? Show me that.
Drop the curtain. Come on, let's go.
Hold it. Raise the curtain.
It's a passion, an emotion, it's a passion.
There are going to be all kinds of people. They'll just want to get close to you because you're talented.
Clearly, one of us has underestimated the other.
What is Allie short for?
Alice.
Alice? Well, welcome to Wonderland.
That was
okay. So I think we're heading into glitter territory here, but go for it.
I've got three things to bring up. Number one, it was ironic for me that they bring up the Dancing with the Stars comment in that because Cher's speech in that video clip sounds like something you would hear on Dancing with the Stars, which was awesome. Number two is, you're right. The trailer at least does nothing for me on her acting skills at all. It worries me entirely.
I don't think it's meant to.
Yeah, and also, I immediately think what you do. I'm just leaning towards one side on this.
It's a difficult one because, look, Christina Aguilera, I think out of all of the current pop stars at the moment, is probably actually one of the more talented.
She's the closest to a diva we have.
Yeah, and she has an amazing voice.
Oh, yeah.
She's a whack job, but she has an amazing voice, and she's managed to keep her whack jobbiness to herself.
Well, she's at least not ended up in the back of too many cop cars.
That's
true.
And she doesn't go shaving her head and all that sort of stuff. Now, that being said, I think so. We're going to be getting some really good performances, musical performances, out of her in this film because, does that.
There's a song called It's Burlesque.
Well,
because
I think it was singing that at the end.
I know, that's what I'm saying. If that song's in the thing, I'm
going
to be very upset.
Now, second thing it has going for it is Stanley Tucci, who I just adore.
Can I add that he was the one that dropped the Wonderland comment? I don't care how good you are as an actor, you can't deliver that line properly.
And the third thing it does have going for it, and it's very strange I'm going to say this, is it does have Cher. Now, go back a few years. This woman,
before she lost her mind.
That's right. This woman did win an Oscar. You know what I mean? She gave a great performance in Moonstruck. She gave a great performance in Mask. Mm. Not The Mask, but the one
Mask
with Eric Stoltz.
With the giant face.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. She was a really good... Mermaids, she was very good in. And she now looks like an aging drag queen, but, you know...
But that kind of works.
It kind of works for
because
the circumstances.
Because of the role, yeah.
And, you know, so it has a couple of elements where you sit there and go, it could be a slight cut above... Glitter, but as you look at this trailer, it is completely derivative. It is, somebody said Hannah Montana. It is Hannah Montana. It is Coyote Ugly. It is any number of films where the out of town girl comes to the city to make it big, and you know, it's just another one of those. You know,
no,
so
I agree.
I actually think that it's going to be awful, quite frankly, but it may have a good soundtrack. So we'll give it that. All right, we have one more film. It's actually not a film. It's a TV show that we're going to review. Now, we've only got about 10 minutes on this because we also have to do our lists. And the lists, we're not going to miss the lists.
Oh, no. I love the lists.
Paper coming out of my ears here. All right, this is a TV show. Now, we're going to say, once again, thanks to our friends at Nixco, who actually sent this to us. They asked us whether we wanted to do some television. We said, sure, why not? Mm-hmm. Send it to us. And they sent us. Now, this is going to air on Movie Extra. Now,
I looked up the date, and there doesn't seem to be an exact one.
I think it's the
16th or the 18th.
I will post the exact date on the show notes.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So if you are a Foxtel subscriber and you get Movie Extra, then this will be airing on that night. Mm-hmm. It's a two-part miniseries called River World. Now, I've got a graphic here, I think. Do I have a graphic here? I have a graphic here. There we go. All right, so now I actually even have some details for you. All right, so River World is directed by Stuart Gillard and written by Robert Hewitt, Wolf, Randall M. Badat, and Hans Beimler, I think, based on the books by Philip Jose Farmer. Now, I say based on the books because apparently there's several of them written over a decade period. It stars, I can never pronounce this guy's name. He's Hilo from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Is it Tamo?
Let's go with that.
All right, we'll go with Tamo. Tamo Pennekett, Mark Declan, Peter Wingfield. Now, this is another name that's a good one. Is it Jean Anne? Jean-Ann Goosen, Alan Cumming, and Laura Vandervoot. Now, I have the synopsis from the back of the box because, believe it or not, it is actually already on DVD in this country. Oh, so yeah. It's on DVD, but it's airing, it's getting its network premiere coming up. Okay. So on the back of the box, it says Matt, an American journalist, and his fiancee, Jessie, are killed in an explosion. Okay. End of the film. There you go.
But
Matt reawakens, Matt is reawakened in a very unusual afterlife, a mysterious planet with an endless river terrain. Everyone who has ever lived on Earth has been resurrected simultaneously in this strange new world. Determined to find Jessie, Matt joins forces with an intrepid crew, including a 13th century female warrior, a riverboat captain, Mark Twain, and embarking upriver, their adventure begins, all while tracked by the watchful eye of a mysterious alien force. Blue people. Because, of course, aliens must be blue in this day and age. Mm-hmm. And I do have a trailer. I managed to round up a trailer for this one. So here is Riverworld.
Missed you.
I missed you too.
Wait here.
You're not going to run off to the mountains again, are you?
Not in this lifetime.
Junior partners from our New York office. Worked on the 82nd floor, North Tower.
Can you tell me, am I dead?
That seems to be the question of the day.
Billions of people from every epoch of human history.
Reborn.
What? Went down?
The world, I think.
Do I know you?
Captain Samuel Clemens.
Is it Mark Twain?
Guilty as charged.
You'll all bow down to your new lord and master.
Burn out the stick.
No!
You kill me, but I'll come back, won't I? Is that the secret?
There are endless secrets.
What the hell are you doing to me?
This world isn't a dream.
We've been used as puppets, fighting in a war we barely understand.
Kill them all.
This is some sick game you're playing. None of it's real. Why are you doing this? It's the only way! What do you want from us?
If you had seen what I have seen...
Okay, so that's the trailer. Now, I gotta say, the trailer is a lot more action-packed than the series is. The series has action, don't get me wrong. The series has action, but that trailer makes it look like one of those, you know, big, bold action films. And this is actually a three-hour miniseries, so it stretches it out a lot further. Mm. I'm gonna go first on this one. I'm gonna say that I didn't love it. I didn't hate it, though, at the same time. It's one of those shows where I sat there watching it, and it kept my attention. Mm. For the entire 3 hours, because I kept wondering what was going to happen next. Mm. And I guess that means it's a win in many ways. Because
I will just say on the exact same note, without actually without cutting you off, I'm just going to say that
I'm going to let you finish.
I actually felt that the entire way through the thing, it wasn't so much a sense of intrigue, it was a sense of wondering how they were going to wrap this up in 3 hours.
Yes, that was pretty much the case. Also, I mean, there are certain aspects to it that were really intriguing. The discovery of this new world, trying to establish the rules of this world, which I think is actually one of the undoings of the story. Now, I have not read the books, so I don't know. And the books are obviously beloved, and they're obviously acclaimed, so I don't know if it is actually a problem in the books or not. And if anybody in the chat room has read the books, please let me know. But one of the problems that I found with the miniseries, or the structure of the miniseries, was that there was no sense of time. And that was kind of disorientating. And it's only really in the first episode. The second episode moves along a little bit better. But the first episode, first half of it, it feels like they've only been there a day. And yet so many things are happening. You kind of go, how long have we actually been here? You know, I mean, she's now fashioning swords and they've changed this location and they're doing this. How long have we been here? You know? And there doesn't seem to be any definite transition of time.
Oh, I would even say the second episode suffers from that as well, because there's a lot of periods where he's in a chair. We won't explain why or whatever, but it's in another part of the reality, and I can't quite figure out whether that was in sync with the time period that they were running with, or whether that was off. And then I just had no sense of how long he was there, or you know, sort of when, whether or not, because they said she had been there for ages, and I was like, has he been there for ages?
Yeah, and so and that's what I was saying before, is there was this whole thing about trying to discover the rules of this world. But some of the rules didn't make sense. And so you sat there going, it's bending my head here because I don't quite understand what they're saying.
What really bothers me is the whole time I was watching it, I was going, this could be a really good series.
Yes.
You know, if you had stretched it out to say 20, 40, you know, two seasons maybe even or something like that, give it time to breathe. Give each episode time to establish
itself.
And
there are so many characters that you've got to give each character a little bit more space
and
to
grow. And sometimes it's almost like they just wanted to get rid of characters. I don't know whether it was a budgetary concern or there was something else where they were just like, whoosh, and we'll just get rid of this one. And you're like, wait, what? I like that guy. What the hell? And towards the end, when it finished, it was kind of like, it doesn't. You kind of get to the end of the series and then it's like...
Well, they've obviously set up that they can make a second one if they were successful.
Well, yeah, I kind of know what you mean, but at the same time, the whole thing's reset. So do we just ignore the first thing? Do we just reuse
Well, my kind of thought was, and it's funny because, I mean, we don't want to give too many spoilers here, but my thought was kind of like, is this some sort of eternal loop that they go through? Basically to pass the time, you know? So it's like they've concluded the story and then we all seem to be back to square one again, you know? And it's like they're on their way down the river again. So you go, are we just starting all over again?
We definitely are, because if you think about it, you've still... It's kind of a write-off as well as a miniseries, because you can write it off immediately because he's still looking for the same thing.
Yeah.
Like nothing has changed. It's just that in a short period of time, you've kind of given... It's almost like a teaser. It's like a really long trailer.
That Battlestar Galactica, the new version of Battlestar Galactica, actually did start life as a miniseries on the Sci-Fi Channel, which are the same people who produced this. Mm. And they then serialized the miniseries. Mm. So one could think that this miniseries could act as a pilot to a potential series to come. Now, our chat room, Octane has said they did a version in 03 as well. It's funny you mentioned that, because I actually happen to have the trailer for the 03 version. Ooh. And I thought it's very interesting to have a look at this trailer because there are many similarities, and yet many things are very different at the same time. Now, the 03 version was actually a pilot. It wasn't a miniseries. It was a pilot to a proposed series that never happened. So, obviously, they didn't get the ratings that they wanted on the pilot, and this happens a lot in America. But anyway, this is the 03 one. Have a look at this. I don't think it's very long. We'll have a look.
Wherever we are, I don't think this is heaven.
It is a place between life.
A minute ago, I was 82 years old.
And death.
Something or someone put us here.
Who won the war?
What war?
The second war.
Where the souls of the past.
I was an astronaut.
I was in the shuttle. We got hit by space debris.
Have been reborn.
Gather them!
Into a barbaric world.
You will fight to the death.
To create a new history.
Help!
From acclaimed sci-fi author, Philip Jose Farmer, Riverworld.
The Earth as we know it is gone.
But your species has been preserved.
Now, between a band seeking answers to the new world.
We're not on Earth anymore.
And the resurrected dictator.
The weak will die.
Determined to control it.
The strong will survive. I can give you everything.
Lies the mystery of Riverworld.
False accusations.
You died on the run.
Okay, I think they improved the acting for the...
Hell yeah. But dude,
For the 2010.
Dude, I want that guy doing more trailers. That guy's voice is amazing.
on River World.
I have to say that the set construction was much more epic.
Look, and there's certain elements of the original version I would like to have seen. I like the idea that he's basically a shuttle pilot and he's crashing.
I love the costumes as well. Those weird, like, front mounted, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Almost.
I like the fact that it's the original comes across as feeling almost a little bit more Planet of the Apes-ish.
And,
you know?
And a little bit more brutal as well. The other one didn't really seem like there was not enough time with them in this brutal dictatorship or whatever they called it in the trailer of, like, people fighting against each other. I want to see some of that. That wasn't in the series.
And I'm sorry, the one issue that I have to raise about the version we saw, now let's put aside the 2003 version because we didn't see that one.
Yeah.
But in the version we saw, the bad guy's name, they were kept referring to him as Burton.
Yeah.
Right? At one point, they mentioned his first name.
Yeah.
And it actually made me laugh out loud because I said, it can't be. They're not trying to say it is. And I don't think they were. But by choosing this name, I think they inadvertently put a joke, put an unintentional joke, because his name was Richard Burton.
Yeah.
And all I could think was, where's Liz Taylor?
No.
And, you know, it's like, and I don't think they should have called him Richard Burton. I think that was a bad call, considering that they said that all people were basically resurrected on this planet from all periods of time. Richard Burton could theoretically be on this planet. So my question is, why would he want to ruin the world? Wouldn't he just be looking for a bar somewhere, you know? All right, so Riverworld. Look, it's
going to be a TV thing. So
it's a TV thing, and if you are a fan of science fiction,
Watch it. It's absolutely. Like, it was worth the 3 hours. There was nothing about it that I turned around and went, it's a hell of a lot better than most of the stuff you'll see on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, well, look, it is not giant. What is Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus? It is not. No. It is not made by Asylum.
It's well produced. It's well put together. It's just that it fails because it's so short.
And I actually give this is one thing that Sci-Fi does quite interestingly is, now we keep saying Sci-Fi, in Australia it's actually being shown on Movie Extra, but it is originally a Sci-Fi Channel or SIFI Channel, you know, SIFI Channel production in the States, which is why we keep saying Sci-Fi. But they are responsible for some very clever miniseries. Some of their television, you know, some of their cheap-ass Asylum movies and stuff, sure, okay, granted. But they also did things like Alice and Tin Man and stuff like that, which were like reworkings or retellings of Alice in Wonderland and Wizard of Oz. And they do some very interesting stuff. And this is the same as that. It's got that kind of interesting, let's try something a little different. They don't always succeed. They're not always perfect. And I don't think Riverworld is perfect. But I've seen many 3-hour miniseries where I have been bored stupid by the end of it. And I was never bored in this. I was watching it to the end. There were a couple parts where I guffawed out loud because it was just a little bit silly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I sat and watched it with Nicholas and Katie, and we all got through it. And you know, it held the attention of an 11-year-old. So, you know, that's not bad going. If you've got the time on the day of its release, and I will get the exact date, but I believe it's about the 15th or 16th. If you do have the time, by all means, and you have Foxtel, of course, tune in, because I think you could do worse.
Yep.
All right? Okay. Lists of five, and then we're going to get out of here because we're running a little bit long. This week on our list of five, considering we did Splice, we are going to do our five interesting, quote-unquote, science gone wrong movies. Now, these are not necessarily the best science gone wrong movies or the worst science. These are just five films that have come to our attention of films where
I put them in an order.
Oh, you put them in an order. Mine are in kind of an order. So
mine are in an order of how epic their science gone wrong application is.
Fair enough. Yeah. Mine are in kind of an order of how I feel about these films. And I think the quote that we're going to use whenever you think about these films, anytime we mention a film, should be, what could possibly go wrong? Okay, that is basically what it comes down to. Josh, what is your number five?
My number five, man, is actually a very obvious kind of one. This one isn't very, you know, sort of left field or anything like that. But the concept itself, I give it because there is an explanation at the start of this movie where the guy actually says, in order to, you know, defend against something, you have to understand how it works. And he's talking very irrationally, and the people that are, you know, confronting him at the time don't really understand what that means. But the thing that bothers me is, no, you don't. You burn it. You drop a bomb on a building. When you create something this deadly, you just don't. just pretend that everything's okay or try and fix it. No, science has taught us, if science has taught us anything,
fire cures a lot of things.
Fire cures pretty much anything. And if you don't cure it that way, you can't fix it. You can't find a solution. If it's this viral and this dangerous, just get rid of it. It is, of course, 28 days later. When you have the zombie apocalypse on your hand, you burn the fucking building.
Absolutely. Damn straight. Okay, my number five is going into the family film category, but I'm going to say it's Joe Dante's Small Soldiers. Let's put military-grade CPUs into children's toys. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Well, you know, like, they're already trying that again in real life. The statues we talked about last week.
Damn straight. You're number four.
My number four is one that they don't necessarily see the problem occurring the way that it does in this film. But when we try to create a version of space-time where we basically poke a hole in reality and then open another one at another point and try and force them together, there's no way that could do anything dangerous. Event Horizon is my number four. Of course, yeah, we all saw what happened with that, and there were nothing but demons and blood and gore and death. So, you know, like, what could have gone wrong?
My number four is, let's take sharks and artificially increase the size of their brains and make the most lethal killing machines on the planet smart. And that would be Rennie Harlan's Deep Blue Sea. What could possibly go wrong with that with that equation?
that's pretty good. look, number three, this one here is more in a test to just how great sort of humans think, I think, with the fact that in this movie, what happens is that a virus wipes out pretty much 90% of the world's population, and we come into the movie much later in the situation. So to repair this problem, we've obviously gone, you know, the best way we can fix this situation is to go back in time. 12 Monkeys is my number three.
Damn straight. I hadn't even thought of 12 Monkeys. That's great. My number three is, let's create a solution that can bring the dead back to life. But what could possibly go wrong with that would be Reanimator.
Oh, yeah. That one, nah. Yeah, but again, like, I mean, that guy was mad from the start. We can't really help him. My number two is actually a film that I don't think many people have seen, and it's more the fact that it's very similar in Splice's kind of situation, where it's two guys that don't tell anyone else about the situation, but basically these guys, again, we're talking about time travel, these guys basically find a way to put themselves in a box and actually slow down time to the point where they can actually beat time, and they actually, there are moments in this story where they actually stop and they find themselves walking to the room where they were, and things like this. So instead of stopping this application, they're like, let's just see how far we can go. This film is really good. If you haven't seen it, it's an art house kind of release, mm-hmm. but the storyline is an amazing kind of like branching arc. But yeah, the way that film pays out, when you get to the end of it, you're like, oh wow, you've just... Oh, everything is fucked now. So yeah, I definitely say everybody should check that one out.
What's the film title?
Primer.
Primer. See, I haven't seen Primer yet, so I want to see that one. My number two, of course, is let's genetically alter dinosaur DNA and bring dinosaurs back to life in a modern world. What could possibly go wrong with that equation? And that would be Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that one, we went on for that one for a very long time in reality. We made TV shows and everything.
Absolutely.
About why we weren't going to do this.
Yeah, this is not a good idea. Anytime you start getting into genetics, I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, no. All right, well, my number one, drum roll. Okay, now, we've talked about all these things about bringing things back to life and genetic animation and all this sort of stuff, and I just love this film because although it's a terrible, terrible film, the very concept of it, just immediately when you start watching, you're just like, wow, either in the future we got really dumb or just like lost any sense of primal instincts at all. It's like, okay, so we've got to a point in society where we can, you know, cultivate planets and we can do all these wonderful things. Then we go back to Earth and we find this guy buried with all this information about how he was one of the greatest and most deadly killers of all time. Let's reanimate him and then leave him in a room alone. Jason X. In the future, we resurrect Jason in space.
Jason,
wow, man, what were we thinking?
What a classic. Now, I'm just pulling a year here because I want to make sure I get this right. But my number one, I'm going old school on everybody's ass here. I'm going old school. I'm going to say, let's go back to Colin Clive and Mae Clark and Boris Karloff in probably the original original science gone wrong tale, which of course is Frankenstein from 1931, I should say. Let's take a whole bunch of dead people, sew them together, apply electricity, and bring somebody back to life as a new life form. What could possibly go wrong
breeding
in that equation?
Could go wrong with that. That's just, yeah, no, there's so much that is just not right with that.
But, I think we really come down to the fact that Frankenstein was probably the original science gone mad book.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it is a tale that so many things are based on from there onwards. I do have a couple of honorable mentions that I thought I'd bring up. Resident Evil, let's create a super virus. What could possibly go wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, just the word super virus. Yeah. Man, we were just aiming. We went for that we went for that morals line and just jumped over it.
We can keep it contained. Of course we can. of course, in our vault section, we really didn't bring it up on the list, but of course there's The Fly. Let's teleport. Nothing could go wrong with that.
Yep.
And of course, but the Back to the Future trilogy, as a trilogy, not just as one film. Let's go back in time. Nothing could possibly go wrong by altering things that have happened in the past.
No, yeah.
Which is also an issue that gets raised in the really awful film, but interesting time idea, which of course is Distant Thunder, where we take tourists back in time to see dinosaurs. What could possibly go wrong with that concept?
Yeah.
Now, the other one that was raised by Katie, which I thought was a very interesting choice, which of course is Hollow Man.
Oh,
let's turn somebody invisible. Of course they won't get maniacal
It's one of those genetics movies where it's like we looked at the core idea of what we were doing. We didn't think about side effects.
No, but we never do. That's the problem. Now, I had one here which is not actually a science gone wrong issue. It's kind of a business gone wrong issue. But it was something that occurred to me in the shower this morning. And I just thought, I just wanted to bring this up very quickly. And if it does spark a very long debate, what we might do is hold it and push it off into the after show for a long time. I don't think it will, though. But I just wanted to say the gap between the film Alien and Aliens. Now, we talk about this whole idea of what could possibly go wrong. We know in Alien, because we establish in Alien, that the company has sent them on this mission, right?
Yeah.
They know that this thing is there. They want them to go answer the distress call, and they go and go to the planet. Now, when the company, which we assume has been getting updates through the robot, sorry, spoilers for Alien, but through the robot before it is destroyed, would know that the people on the ship are slowly being picked off one by one, and whatever it is they've picked up is killing them. And then they lose contact with the ship altogether. So they know that whatever they picked up destroyed them. So cut to many years later, when Sigourney Weaver wakes up from her deep sleep, what does she find out? The company sent more people to the same planet. What could possibly go wrong?
No, they built a base on it. That's the bit I love. It's just like, wow. Like, I mean, so there was...
It wasn't like they weren't aware of what was there.
Because they talk about, in Alien, they talk about the fact that there were fields of those things that killed him. And, yes. And you know, sort of like went inside his suit.
Reports had to have been sent back.
They were. There's the conversation with Mother. There's the fact that he's been keeping him updated the entire time throughout this movie. There is no way that going back
there... They would send civilians to the planet. I mean, it wasn't even sending military. They sent civilians.
No, if they were going to send anyone, they would send civilians because, you know, casual workers are expendable. We know that now.
Yeah. So you see my issue.
Though, oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, 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 okay. Because when I raised that to the lovely Katie this morning, she kind of went,
dude, absolutely. Kellison with the win. Kellison for the win. Probably one of the best examples of science gone wrong is let's give the military network one major computer and tell it that it should extinguish anything that's a threat to us.
Well, let's just make them all self-aware. Computers becoming self-aware. What could go wrong?
There's no chance the network could break with that one.
No, and let's see.
Self-learning computers.
They live longer than us. They're stronger than us. They are more focused than us, and they don't have emotions. What could go wrong? they think with a logical brain. All right, so that's our science gone wrong moment, brought to you by science. brought to you by Splice. That's our Splice inaugural list. All right, guys, we're going to have to finish this up. We're running a little overtime as usual, but that's okay. Now, we've got a little bit of housekeeping. If you agree, disagree with any of our takes, or like with Riverworld, if you've got a film that you want to suggest to us to bring up on this show, please send it all, send along feedback at geekactually.com or voicemail line 02-8011-3167. And one day I will memorize that number. Now we have a fan page on Facebook. If you want to come and join our fan page, that's facebook.com/geekactually. Mm-hmm. And don't forget our other shows. We do have our dedicated tech show, which is Tech Actually, which is recorded live before this one, and the Geek Actually After Show, which is recorded live after this one, and can be found by those names on the iTunes iTunes store if you're looking for them. If you want to catch us live, we record all three shows in the same day, every Saturday starting at 12 p.m. We record Tech, Film, then the After Show, and come along and join our chat room. It's a lot of fun. We couldn't do the show without our chat room, quite frankly. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
We also want to have a quick shout out to a few of our friends. First friend we want to shout out to is, of course, the Movie Fan Cast. Charlie is in our chat room. Is he still with us? I don't know.
No, anyway, he had to leave before.
He had to leave. But Charlie, Charlie was actually in our chat room for a while. He's the host of the Movie Fan Cast with Jesse. They put on a good show. They seem to have gotten over all their hack problems now. Mm. Show is back on track. So do go check out that show. And go check out The Real Junkies, R-E-E-L Junkies. You can find them on iTunes or go to weekendronin.com. I should say that was also moviefanhouse.com. Mm. They are a bunch of fans who get together every week and review films while drinking tequila, and they are a lot of fun to listen to. We also want to have a quick shout out to our friend Josh Spencer, who is doing our new graphics for us, and I can't wait till they're finished. We're so close now, so close. But you can find his work at attackninja.blogspot.com. And somebody I was saying in the tech show, I've had comments saying, "Boy, your opening titles to Film Actually are a bit rough." That's because they're temporary. Yeah. We are actually waiting for new graphics, and we're going to put it all together into some nice new package. By episode 100, everything is changing. Yeah. So episode 100, we're actually changing the opening titles to the shows. We're going widescreen, which will be neat. Mm. So yeah, there's a few things that are going to change on episode 100. So just bear with us during this little transition stage. We actually broke the shows up ahead of schedule. Mm. So just bear with us. All right, Josh, where can people find out more about you?
Well, obviously we have the website for all our shows, which is rodlc.com. Please go over there and check the site out. Oh, look at that. We have one of those.
We have one of those.
I keep forgetting. Yeah, that's our site over there, rawdlc.com. Feel free to come and check us out. I want to devote this small section of time. I'm not even going to talk about the live show, which goes out at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays.
You're not going to talk about that one at all?
No.
So you're not going to talk about the live show that goes out on Wednesdays at 8 p.m.?
Yeah, usually, but now going out on Tuesday this week because we have somebody leaving. No, I'm not going to talk about that. What I'm going to say is both this show and also my this website, geekactually.com, and rawdlc.com, I want everyone that's in the chat room or listening to this to please go to the sites and do RSSs so that we can keep you up to date. And it also means every time a new post comes, it goes out to you.
Absolutely.
And it means less Facebook work for me. So if anyone can do that, just go click on the RSS and load it into your email account. It will update every time that we post a new post.
Or go out and get yourself a free Google Reader account, which is a much better reader. So if you get Google Reader, you can subscribe to lots of different sites. And that's how we, let's face it, that's how we keep track of all the various news that we put onto this show, is that every week we go through and read Google Reader. I've got millions of feeds lined up and we just kind of pull stuff out of the feeds. We don't make up the news. We just aggregate it. So yes, thank you for that. And also, the other thing we want to mention is that this show, because this was when we did the breakup, this was the new feed. It really needs reviews on iTunes. Yeah. At the moment, we only have one review on iTunes, and we really want to try and kick it up the ranks, because it is the poor cousin at the moment between Tech and Geek Actually After Show, which are both doing really good numbers. And I would like to prove that it's not just doing bad numbers. I'd like to prove that it's just because we haven't got the reviews yet. So please get in there and throw some reviews. Get it up the ranks. Let's see if we can build the audience for this particular feed. So just look up Film Actually on iTunes. And if you are an iTunes user, spend 2 minutes. Just give us a one-line review, even. I don't mind. Or just a rating. Anything. It would really, really help us move up the ranks on this show in particular. Of course, all the shows, and of course, Joss's show, we all want reviews. But this show in particular, we're trying to really get those reviews up because it is a new feed, and we've got to reestablish that new feed. With that being said, I think we're done. You've got your show, so you've got your feed, so you've given your plugs. I've given my plugs. We're going to get out of here. Now, last week I screwed up the closing music and everything, so let's just make sure we got everything lined up here. Good. All right. So, as is our new tradition with Film Actually, we try and play a portion of the soundtrack from the film that we have reviewed this week. Mm-hmm. So this week is no different. We have a little bit of the soundtrack to Splice lined up here. And I'll have to say the usual sign-off where I'll say, in the meantime, go see more movies. You don't see enough movies, and all of life's questions are answered in the movies. And we will catch up with you next week.